Well, get you all pumped up for the word. God is good. Amen. I hope you guys had a great, like I said, Thanksgiving. I'm like 2 holidays back. A great New Year celebration with your family. You know, we spent it with Seth's family up in Gilroy. Had a blessed time. And then like three of the kids that were there, all they sneezed right in my face like 3 times. So yesterday I woke up with a little bit of a sore throat, a little head cold. I had kind of like the night sweats last night, but I'm good. I'm not coughing or sneezing, so I'm hopped up on Dayquil and a bunch of other stuff. So, and I'll be getting some rest after this. Isn't God good? God, it's a new year, right? New 2026. It's so funny. We were laughing. My sister Elvia, she's not here, but she has a little nephew. His name is Alex. Yeah. Oh yeah. Thank you. Good job. Extra credit. An extra jewel for his crown. But no, it was, we were talking about it, is like, isn't it crazy how just the years are flying by? And we were talking about how old, he was asking her, how old are you? And it was for her birthday, and he asked, he's like, she was born December 7, 1985. And he looks at her, and he's like, are you serious, Mom? You're born in the 1900s? You are so old. It's a true story. And I was like, oh, when you say it like that, it hurts. But I was born in the 1900s too. But he's like, he's three. Super, I know. He's like 3 feet tall. You know what I mean? He's a small guy. How old is he now? 7, 8? Anyway, the year and the time just flies by, right? And today we're gonna be jumping into today's word. Because who started a New Year resolution already? Or maybe not a resolution, but maybe you started you're trying to eat better. Trying to spend more time in the Word. Hopefully everybody says, I'm trying to spend more time in the Word, yeah. Maybe trying to eat a little healthier. We started that. I was getting too sexy right here. I got to scale it back. Too much of meat to love. So I got to, pants are fitting too tight. You know, there's a certain point as a man where you get to a point where it's like, you know, you got to commit to eating better, right? And it's usually whenever you have the little marks right here. And you got to graduate from a 36 to a 38. That's the sign. Okay. Anybody resonate with that? Okay. That was right there. I was teetering right there. I was putting people at work, putting their lives in danger because the button was way too tight. Could hit somebody, poke somebody's eye out. So I'm there. You're going to see hopefully the leaner version of me. I got to do a lot of God's work. You know, I got to stay fit. This is the temple that God has given me. Yeah. I got to take care of it, so that's what it's come down to for me. How many of you guys started? Anybody else? Any start some new lifestyle choices? Anybody on this side in the back? Okay, what are you doing, brother? Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's great, brother. So, yeah, I mean, it's like the physical fitness, it's your spiritual fitness, right? I mean, and it's something about, I don't know what it is. We could easily have done it like, you know, November 15th, but we always wait for that day, right? That's the new day I'm going to start. And so there is something about kind of being very intentional about starting something new. And so for us here at church, we're starting a new series called Disciplined. And you're like, oh, Disciplined. Some of you guys have bad memories about discipline, yeah? Some of you guys are already like, oh, you heard the belt flying off. You know, my brother's not here, but, and sometimes it has a negative connotation. But we're going to be diving into the discipline and being a disciple of Jesus Christ, right? And what does that mean? I mean, there is no greater blessing than to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. When I read the Gospels, I don't know about you, but I always look and I always imagine that I was a disciple. Like, it would have been so cool to be there, right? To listen to him, to kind of, and his words are recorded, so they're for me. And I would have loved to have actually been there. All right, I always use my imagination. And I always laugh. I love when Jesus is always like, you know, talking smack to the Pharisees. And you guys already know this. I've told you this. Like, he'll read it and he'll like, and I always, in my mind, I start laughing. Because I would say, ooh, man, Jesus got him good. Burn, you know. And then they would try to stone him and kill him. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So we're going to be in the middle of a new series, and it's called Disciplined. And so today's sermon is called Follow Me, the Call to Discipleship. Follow Me, the Call to Discipleship. and the primary text we're going to be in. We're going to be in 1 John, or John 1, sorry, and then Matthew chapter 4. But at the end of the day, what we're really learning about is we're going to learn that at the end of the day, it takes discipline, right, to grow. It takes discipline to do something really well. And like I said, we're going to be spending some time breaking down what the scriptures say. What does it mean for us to be disciples of Jesus Christ? And what does that mean ultimately? What are we exchanging for that? Because it's going to cost you something, yeah? It does cost you something. But I always say, at the end of the day, you're doing an exchange, right? You're giving something. What you're getting back in Jesus Christ is invaluable, right? You're giving up, and the analogy that sometimes uses is like, Brother Joey, if I walked up to you and I told you, okay, in my hands I have a fistful of diamonds, right? In your hands you have dirt. Do you want to exchange them with me? You would, right? You would say amen every single time. If that ever happens to you in real life, you always say yes. That is what Jesus Christ, that is what God offers you, right? He's saying you have nothing, right, but dirt, even in your fingernails, and I have life. I have not only just, we were talking about wealth, and I give you that analogy because a lot of times you can wrap your brain around something material, right? But God comes to give us life, and life eternal, right? And so that's what we're going to be learning. So always take that deal, Brother Joey, right? That's a good one. And Brother Joey's going to help me out later on. He doesn't know it. Matt, I think I could take you, Matt, so I'm not going to use it in this sermon, but Brother Joey, stand at attention. But let's get into the Word. Before we do that, sorry, let me just give you guys a definition of disciple, right? What does it mean, disciple? Because sometimes it's like, let's get into it. It's like, what does it mean? It says, one who accepts or assists in spreading the doctrines of another, such as in Christianity, one of the 12 in the inner circle of Christ's followers, according to the gospel accounts, and also somebody that is convinced, adherent of a school of thought or an individual. Right, so that's what it means to be a disciple, right? So just let's go back and get the definition down. But let's jump into the Word. We're going to be reading in John 1, and we're going to be reading 35 through 50, and then we're going to break that passage down a little bit, and after that we'll switch to Matthew chapter 4. So you want to kind of get both of those passages ready. John 1, 35 through 50, and Matthew 4, verses 18 to 20. Or you can always follow along on the screen, okay? So, John 1:35 says, the next day John was there again with two of his disciples. This is John the Baptist, by the way. And when he saw Jesus by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? Yeah, that's funny, right? He's like, what do you want? Why are you following me? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one who had heard what John had said and had followed Jesus. The first thing that Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Look at him, he said. You are Simon. Jesus looked at him. Sorry about that. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which is translated into Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee, finding Philip, and he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about the prophets also, and whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching him, he said, here, truly, is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. And Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before I called you. And then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. and you will see greater things than that. Then add, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Amen. Amen. That's a lot. I know, so it's like a big passage of scripture, and you guys just ate like 5 waffles. So I'm about to do my best to keep you guys awake, right? So what are we learning? What is the, whenever we jump into the scripture, we always want to learn about what? The context. What was happening, right? This is early on in Jesus' ministry. In fact, if you read John, the first portion of it, Jesus had just been baptized, right? And he had John the Baptist also had, he had disciples. I don't know if you guys know that, right? In fact, you guys know that Andrew and somebody else was a disciple of John before they were a disciple of Jesus, right? So Andrew was one of them. And the other one was actually John, who actually wrote this book, just for more context. Can you put the map of the screen? There's a little map there that says Galilee in Jesus' time. All right. So this is all happening. This is the Sea of Galilee. And this is happening in Bethsaida, right? Jesus is from Nazareth, right? I always love this passage of scripture because I love Nathanael's honest response. What does Nathanael say? Can anything good come from Nazareth, right? That's kind of like your story, yeah? Can anything good come from Reedley, right? Orange Cove, Parlier, Sanger? That's like our story, right? When I first met Stephanie, she found out that I was from Orange Cove. She thought I was immediately, all her friends thought I was a gang member. They dropped me off one time and they're like, is it safe to go there? Is there drive-bys all the time? I was like, I mean, there's sometimes, but not always. So yes, there's good things in Orange Cove too. It's a true story. But yes, something amazing and good can come from Nazareth because Jesus is from there, right? And he's doing his ministry here and around the Sea of Galilee. I always say for the context, how wide is this here? Do you guys know? Somebody knows. It's like driving from here to Parlier. Yes, close. Right? And then in terms of the how wide it is, it's like from here to Orange Cove. Right? That's pretty cool, right? I don't know about you guys. When I was like, look at it, it's like, oh man, helps me to kind of ground what I'm reading. And so Jesus is early in his ministry. And in fact, the heading on this chapter is called what? John's disciples follow Jesus. Right, and what we find here and what we see is that Jesus is very strategic in terms of how he starts his calling the disciples. Right, in fact, that's the first point in today's sermon. Your discipleship begins with Jesus's call to follow him. The first point in today's message is discipleship begins with Jesus's call to follow him. And you see that, right? Because verse 37, it says, the two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them ask, what? They said, Rabbi, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. Come, he replied, and you will see. Right? And so Jesus starts off this invitation, right, to them to say, come and see. Come and find out. Right? That's the first step to discipleship is just to say, hey, check it out, right? We're going to go do this thing. Come. And oftentimes, you know, I mean, some of us here, we know the Great Commission. Most of you guys have been in church for a while. What's our approach when we try to bring people to Jesus Christ? Do we say, hey, come and see? Or do we just like prefer to just bring them by the ear? All right. You wish you could grab them by the ear, right? You got some knuckleheads in your family, yeah? You got friends, you're like, man, can you just like, we're going, yeah? But that's not what Jesus didn't say, like, come here. Or he didn't grab his Bible and start beating them up with it, you know? Or he didn't start telling them, you know what you need? You need to go to church. Right? Does that sound familiar? Every time I talk like that, my neck does a gene thing. I don't know. It's, you need to go to church. It's like attitude. Jesus didn't do that, right? He said, come and see. He just piqued their interest. He invited them, right? He says, come and see, right? Come and see. Now, later on, he starts to turn up the heat. You guys know that, right? Especially as you get to pick up your cross. But he's not there yet. The first invitation is, come and see. Now, here's the thing, right? Discipleship with Jesus begins with Jesus' call to follow him. Now, here's the thing, right? Sometimes we want to force it. We want people to follow Jesus. And that person's heart may not be ready to hear that just yet. We gotta keep praying. Keep praying, keep praying, because God is awesome, yes? And he will bring, what does a hardened heart need more than anything? It needs some storms. Right? When you guys have ever tried maybe digging a ditch or planting anything, and you run into the hard pan. It doesn't matter what you do, that your shovel just bounces off, right? So what do you got to do? Pour water in it. Right? And so the same goes for us. Oftentimes I was like, now I'm not saying you should be praying for bad things to happen to your friends and your family, but God will do what he's going to do, amen? Now some of you have been praying that. You're like, just get him in a headlock, Jesus. Just put him in a place. Bring him to his knees, Jesus. That's okay. God is sovereign, you're not, right? It'll be in his time. But it's Jesus' invitation to follow, right? We don't save anybody. Let me just say that again. We don't save anybody. Here in the church, right, I don't save anybody. That's the Holy Spirit and God that does the calling. And what we do is we do the invitation. I always say, listen, I have somebody that's amazing, that's awesome. I would love to introduce him. He's the author and the creator of the universe, and he loves you. Would you like to meet him? Yes, right? That's what we do. But sometimes I'll just be honest with you. Sometimes we don't do the invitation right, because we do start doing what? Yeah, shame, shame, shame. This is why. See, if you were coming to church or you were doing this, that's not what Jesus did. Jesus invited. And how do we know that, right? Because we just celebrated Christmas. What do we celebrate at Christmas? We celebrated what? Emmanuel, God with us. So that God goes first. And so for us, we're just following Jesus' suit. What does it mean for us to really invite people to participate and to be disciples of Jesus Christ? And so discipleship starts with Jesus taking the initiative. I don't know if you know this, but God takes the initiative first. We talked about this at Christmas. We talked about this in creation, right? A lot of you guys I had a lot of good questions on Genesis this week, which is great. I know. Because everybody's on their reading plans, right? It's like, oh, I started this. Awesome. What did God do in the beginning? He created, right? So he was already in action. God takes the initiative first, right? And so in the same way, Jesus takes the initiative to call us to follow him. And so that's the way it has to be. Because ultimately, right? Listen, God is sovereign. He is all powerful. And if he wanted to, he could force you, right, to follow him. I don't know if you know that. He could. But here's what we also know about God. God gives us free will. And then we also know that real love only flows from what? A free heart. Right? I got to give myself to God freely. That God didn't make me to be a robot to worship him. He invites me into it, right? How many of you guys ever tried that approach, guys? You see a girl that you like and you're like, oh, I really like you. You need to go on a date with me. Maybe if it's good, maybe we'll get married. We'll have 3 or 4 kids. Let's go. You think that approach would work? It's like caveman style, right? Me, man, you, women, right? That doesn't work. Why? Because it's all about the invitation. It's about the relationship. Yes, it's about the relationship and the work that you have to do anyway, it's a different thing. But Jesus is still calling people today, right where they are. Right? You don't have to have this. The other thing too, you hear this excuse a lot. You hear this, and this is a number one lie that the enemy uses, that you need to get right before you get to God. That you got to figure this thing out. That I'm a hot mess right now. I gotta fix these things first, and then God will accept me. Then I can be used by God. Have you ever heard that excuse? It's a big excuse, right? The enemy is whispering that to us all the time. God, how could God use you? Right? You're flawed. You're all this thing. You're not a theologian, right? You're not all these things. You didn't graduate. Those are all lies from the enemy. Whenever that happens, you have to remind yourself that God loves you already, just as you are. Now, I always say that with a caveat. He loves you the way that you are, but he also doesn't want to leave you that way. Does that make sense? That he came to do a new thing. That he came to give us new life. He came to restore relationship in our brokenness and our broken hearts. So we can have a right relationship with him. And that means the invitation that Jesus gives us. right? So you don't need to have it all figured out. But you do have to do what? You do have to respond. You have to respond to the invitation, right? Now, what do we see the disciples do right away? I love what the disciples did. And it's funny because we're also going to read Matthew 4. But in John 1, we see that immediately, right? They stopped. They recognized who he was and they started to follow him. There's obedience that is required, right? That it's not going to be your way, right? This isn't Burger King. I'm sorry. Following Jesus is that you got to do it Jesus' way, right? You got to do it God's way. So it begins with the invitation to follow him. And here's the other thing, right? You got to ask yourself, as we're getting into discipleship, where are you at in your walk with Jesus? Have you answered the call? Or are you just kind of figuring it out? You know about this Jesus. You heard about him. You love Christmas. You pray to baby Jesus. But you're not quite sure. You haven't given your life to him. Yeah? A lot of people know about Jesus, but not a lot of people are surrendered to him. A lot of people will say, yes, God, but is he Lord of your life in all areas? That's what Jesus is talking about. He says, listen, it's going to cost you something to answer that call. And what he's doing is he's inviting us to participate, right? To be a part of it, into relationship with him. In verse 40, when we see Andrew, it says, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of them who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. And the first thing, right? Listen, it says, does it say he waited? No, he says, the first thing he did was find his brother and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ. And he what? Brought him to Jesus, right? You know, the person that brought me to Christ is my brother, to be honest with you. Obviously, the Holy Spirit. But he really did force me, right? He really did force me to come to church. He had invited me for like 2 years. And I'd always tell him, like, I'm good. I'm happy for you, brother. And when I would call him brother, I was not being like, he's my brother. I was making fun of him, right? To be honest with you. You're like, Pastor, you're mean. You're a jerk. It's okay. We used to call him hermano. He'd go, hey, hermano. We were just messing around. Like, I wasn't plugged into church at all. For 2 years, he invited me. And finally, he said, you know what? I'm getting baptized. You need to come. I've invited you for 2 years. And you're my real brother. I need you to go. And so I went. And then guess what happened? Man, Jesus got me in a headlock. And the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me go. And I said, thank you, Jesus, man. You're so awesome. Because I needed to be safe from me. Right? I needed to be safe from myself. So that's a little bit of my testimony of the invitation that I received. But immediately then it says that Simon Peter was brought by his brother Andrew. And so that's what we're learning is you have to respond to the invitation. Now, people might not always respond to the invitation. Jesus himself said is what? You're going to invite people. Don't be surprised if what? They reject you because they're really rejecting me. But he says, what? You still have to invite, right? So let's keep moving. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4 now. Because these two passages are really linked together. So we're gonna open our Bibles to Matthew 4. We're going to read about four verses there, and then we're going to tie them together. Okay? Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 says, excuse me, guys. It says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. And they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Or your translation may say, I will make you fishers of men. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Let's read that all together. Verse 20. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Right? Now going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. And they were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing the nets. And Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. Amen? So you can see that there's two different portions, right? You're noticing that if you start in Matthew, and you're like, immediately they left. But then if you read John 1, they're like, oh, they had actually already met. There was a previous encounter, right? So that what you see in Matthew chapter 4 is actually the it's time to go. But the introduction had already happened in the book of John. Does that make sense? So, now, number two, what we find, the second point we find out of this passage of Scripture is that following Jesus requires leaving what holds us back. Following Jesus requires leaving what holds us back. In both of those passages, we see that the men immediately, right, that Simon and also Andrew, his brother, and later we see also that Philip and Andrew and Peter, we saw that in the book of John, that they left, that the media had to go do something. Right? And as Jesus is calling you on this journey of discipleship, guess what? He's telling you that you're going to have to leave something too. It's going to be sometimes it's a little bit of things that your comfort, sometimes a little bit of your leisure activities, sometimes a little bit of, but here's the thing, right? Jesus is saying, I'm trading you your dirt for diamonds. I'm trading you your nothing for the living God. And so he says, you're going to have to leave something back. Okay, here's why this matters, right? So, okay, stand up now. Stand up, brother. You're going to help me out. I don't know if you guys know this, but Joey is like ripped, right? All right, look at it. I'm embarrassing. Here's what I want to do, right? I don't know if you notice this, but it's very difficult to move forward when you're trying to carry something that's holding you back. So what I want you to do, right, with all your strength, is I want you to put your hands on my shoulders. Not like romantic, like we're slow dancing, but okay, both hands. Now I want you to take a good grip and hold me. I'm going to try to move forward. Now you're going to do everything you can to what? To hold me back, yeah? That's like when I get into a fight. I'm like, hold me back. No, I've never been in a fight in my life, guys. Hold me back because I'm going to, you know. True story. I've been in one fight with my brother I lost. Fighting was not for me. Okay, I'm going to try to move forward. Now, Joey, do everything you can. Oh, dude. I'm seriously trying. Okay, good job. Thank you, brother. See? Everyone round of applause. That's hard. Honestly, I felt that on my hamstrings are here, brother. I wasn't joking, right? Joey's very fit. You guys see, the visual is for you to see that it's difficult for you to move forward in your walk with Jesus Christ when something is holding you back. Now, Joey's a person, strong person. But in our lives, right, we also have things. We have things that are strong. They're called what? Strongholds, right? Things that we need to give to Christ. Things that we need to work through. Things that we need to confess for sure, so we can move forward in our walk. We can't keep. It's impossible for you to move forward when you have a stronghold in your life, and the enemy is using what? That to keep you where he wants you. Make sense? Yeah. Now that stronghold, it could be an unrepentant sin. Oftentimes, it is. It's a secret sin that you have to just, you know, and you're like, oh, I don't want to hear about that. But this is what, God is a holy God. He wants what's good for you, right? He wants to exchange his, right, we said our dirt for eternal diamonds, right? Shine like a diamond, like my head, right? Whenever we take pictures, that song is like, somebody plays a Rihanna song, because it shines bright like a diamond. Get back in the car. I know, sorry. So I needed Steffi here last week. Because my mind goes crazy. Squirrel. Okay. But we do have strongholds. We have our past. There's things that we got to let go of. And here's the thing is that you are not those things that you have, that your past and whatever. You're not those things. You're a child of God when you give your life to Jesus Christ. Amen? And we have to stop. We have to stop going back and say, like, we're not those things. We're defined by God. We're defined by Jesus and who he says that we are. Not the things that we are, not our sin, not our mistakes in the past. Does that make sense? 1 Corinthians 5:17, right? He says, behold what? When you give your life to Christ, you are new, right? The new has come and the old has gone or passed, yes. So when we're walking with Jesus Christ, he's doing a new thing in us. But your person or your Joey, in this case, it might be a stronghold you have to confess. It might be a sin that you have to just say, listen, enough is enough. Maybe your comfort zone. And it might be, and here's the one that you have to be very careful of as well. Sometimes it actually is a person that's holding you back. Sometimes it's a hurt. It's a relationship. You got to forgive and you got to move on. Forgiveness is a free gift from God. Does that make sense? Because oftentimes we're walking and then we're trying to move forward and we can't move forward and we're holding on to all that pain, to all that hurt. When Jesus says, I came to give you what? Life unto the full. And that means free from that burden. Right? And so we got to let it go. And that's okay. And sometimes too, let's be honest, right? We have people that try to distract us in our walk, yeah? People that invite you to places where you have no business going. There's things that are going to happen that are not of God, yes? You know that. And so sometimes it's pruning out those friends, right? That you have to say, like, listen, in this season of my life, man, this is not of God. You're kind of, and we're not saying, hey, like, cut them off. Because guess what? You're friends with those people for a reason. Ultimately, what's going to happen, right? I'm just going to tell you, fast forward, a sneak peek of what's going to happen is that as you start walking with Jesus and as you start being the salt and the light, guess what starts to happen? People will start to notice the peace and the joy that surpasses understanding in your life, yes? And they will come to do what? Because life, storms happen to everybody, whether you're walking with Jesus or you're not walking with Jesus. And usually those are the times where God says, listen, I'm going to bring somebody, right? Somebody that has a very similar testimony to you, that's have a very similar trial that you're going through, because I want you to minister to them and I want you to invite them to meet me. Does that make sense? And so I just be very careful. I'm not saying, like, you know, just unfriend everybody. Like, I don't have any more friends on Facebook or Instagram or whatever. But it means that you're called to be the salt and the light. And you might have to prune for a reason. Prune some of those relationships for the season that you're in. Because at the end of the day, right, it's better, I'll be quite honest with you, than a rich relationship with God. Right? It's going to cost you something. I don't know if you know this, but the disciples, when they were called, they had jobs. They had families. In fact, it says that what James and the sons of Zebedee, right, the sons of lightning, they left who? Their father. They left their business to follow Jesus. And so let's not pretend like we're going to be exempt from it. It's going to cost us something. Here's the other thing too. Oftentimes we make excuses that Jesus is calling you something and you're like, oh, it's not the right season. It's not the right time. Right? Jesus is calling you to it. You better just get to it. Yeah? Let's not making excuses. I love that Peter, actually, I went back and I did a little bit of the research, because I always say, like, man, the disciples didn't have, like, families, didn't have kids, they weren't married. Peter was actually married. You guys know that, right? Right? And so it doesn't say much about the other disciples, but it even says that he brought his wife alongside. They were doing ministry together, right? So maybe it's not the right time. It's like, no, Jesus invites, right, call. And this is a separate conversation that we won't have, but anyway, we'll get back in the car. Sorry. But Jesus invites us to his plan. And if we're honest, sometimes we have to stop making excuses. We just have to say yes. It requires leaving what is holding us back in our walk, right? Jesus is inviting us to a radical transformation. I don't know if you know this. A radical transformation from death into life. And he's inviting us to learn, right? What is a disciple? It's just somebody that studies, that spends time. In fact, that's the next key point, right? Actually, let me tell you guys a little bit, right, of answering the call. And I wanted to share this with you guys because, it's already up on the screen, but discipleship is built through relationship with Jesus Christ. Discipleship is built through relationship with Jesus Christ. God is a God of relationship. He invites you, right, not to a set of laws, not to a place. He invites you into relationship. That God loves you, right? That he wants to know you, that he sees you, that he accepts you. And I know that's hard because oftentimes it's like, particularly if we haven't had like the best relationships in our lives, yeah? It's hard to believe that somebody loves us like that, unconditionally. It's hard. But you know what? God loves you. This is why he meets all of our needs. That's why he's our heavenly Father, yeah? And he comes first. But what you notice in this passage of scripture that we just read, in John 1:39, it says, "Come," he replied, "and you will see." And says, they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. What is God calling them to? He's calling them to spend time. He didn't say, do all these things, that all these things will get you into heaven, or all these things. It's all about, because we're hardwired to do what? We're hardwired to perform. We're hardwired to do tasks. That's why it's very dangerous, right? I say even in the church, it's very dangerous. You know why? Because we become very religious. What is that? It's all the things that you have to do that you think you're going to earn merit with God. Yeah, it's all the rules, right? We don't do this, we don't do that. God is a God of relationship. And they spent time. And so for us, we have to make a decision, right? How are we spending time with God? You know, I think that I have a healthy relationship with my wife. That means that I have to what? Dedicate the time. I have to make time. I have to make time for my kids. I have to make time for my wife. And that's, it's because it's a relationship. I love spending time with her, right? We have to love spending time with God. God already loves you, yes? Why don't we want to spend time with a God who loves you? We should. In His Word, you come to church on Sunday. You go to the men's group. You go to women's group. You go to C3 groups. You spend time. And then you make time for what? For the people. The God has called you into a relationship. You're not called to do this thing alone, right? He invites you to be a part of it and into a family. And Jesus seeks, right? Let me just, let me break down actually a little passage. Let's turn to John really quick. Because this is a passage that I just wanted to call out. It's actually in verse 47. It says, when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, here truly, right, 47, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Verse 48, Nathanael says, how do you know me? Nathanael asked. And Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. And then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Amen. Here's something that's awesome about this particular passage of Scripture is that Jesus what? Knew him. Jesus already knew him. He invited him and he knew him already. Because what? Jesus is telling you he's connecting the supernatural. I don't know if you guys know this. A lot of it, you can read it and then miss it altogether. Just the same way that Jesus already knew Nathanael, guess what? Jesus already knows you. Jesus knows you, and he invites you as you are, right? And I keep saying this because we're going to have to get over that we're going to have to stop making, right, the excuse that I have to get right, I have to do all these things. No, Jesus already knows you. He's God. He's sovereign. He invites you anyway. That makes sense? And it's through relationship with Jesus Christ. He's not seeking, right, perfect people. How many of you guys think that you guys are perfect? None of you guys, right? None of us. We're all flawed. We're all sinners. Discipleship doesn't require for us to pretend. Oftentimes, you guys have heard me say this a lot. In the culture that we live in, there's a lot of people that are pretending to be okay, yes? Pretending that your life is awesome. Pretending that you eat at all the best restaurants. You go to all the best parties. And does that make sense? A lot of people are pretending. You don't need to pretend with God. What God is looking for is he's looking for honesty. He's looking for sincerity. And if we're honest, sometimes we come before him and say, you know what, God, I'm a hot mess right now. I'm broken. I'm hurting. I need help. I need you, Jesus. Right? And then Jesus could do something. Yeah? But if we're just faking it and we're fronting, we have to kind of just stop with that. So Jesus is divine, right? He actually knows us already. And he seeks people who are seeking him. We have to stop pretending. We just need to be truthful before God. Now here's the thing, right? I just said this. When you follow Jesus, you get Jesus. When you give your life to God, you get God. Oftentimes we make the mistake of looking for the blessing. Help me get out of this problem. Help me to get out of this, mend this situation, get me out of this hurt, get me out of this pain. And that's looking at the wrong thing. All those things will come as a byproduct of walking with Jesus Christ, of giving your life to God, of being used by him, of serving him. Then the blessings come. But oftentimes we make the mistake of thinking, it's like, I want all these things, right? And it's like, you're missing the whole point. The whole point of giving your life to Jesus Christ and being his disciples is that you get to know Jesus. that the Holy Spirit comes to reside in you, and that he can do some amazing things, right? He brings us from death to life. And the fourth point for today's message is that true discipleship invites others to follow Jesus. True discipleship invites others to follow Jesus. Matthew 4:19, we read there and it says, "Come follow me," said Jesus, "and I will send you out to fish for people or make you fishers of men." In John verse 1:41, it says, "The first thing Andrew did was went to find his brother Simon and tell him, 'We have found the Messiah, the Christ,' and he brought him to Jesus." And then he goes on, and Andrew brings Peter, and then Philip brings Nathaniel. You see what's happening? The disciples are bringing what? More people, more disciples. And that's God's call for all of us, right? If we're going to be disciples of Jesus Christ, it means that we have to what? Share the good news. We say, just remember when you first fell in love and how excited you were and how you wanted to share the good news, right? And then you're right. You had to tell people, right? I can't tell people. I'm so happy, right? Yes? It's the same way for us, right? As followers of Jesus Christ, we have to share the good news of who Jesus Christ is. And it's just the invitation. Come and see. Come and see, right? And not, you need to go to church. Come and see that the Lord is what? Taste and see that the Lord is good, right? Sometimes it's just doing that. Live your life. People want to see, I would say that, listen, you know what people want to see in the world? They want to see this lived out. People don't want to be preached to. Nobody likes to be preached to. People want to see this thing lived out. People want to see us living our life firmly planted on who Jesus Christ is, that storms come, but it says, man, the storm came, but your life didn't fall apart. I said, no, because Jesus has got me, right? They want to see this thing lived out. Our kids want to see this thing lived out. They don't really preach to. They want to see this lived out. That's what Jesus is inviting you. That when you have a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ and you accept him as your Lord and Savior, your life has to be different. It has to. And that's what Jesus is inviting us to today. The invitation still stands, right? When you discover something that's life-changing, right? You don't keep it to yourself, you share it. And the gospel spreads what? Through personal invitation. So you've got to invite people to come and see. Come and see, we're having an event. Come and see, you know, like today, you said, hey, we're going to go eat waffles today. Don't tell them where you're going. Just pick them up, bring them to church. We're going to have some coffee. Let's meet up at coffee. Show up to the women's coffee meetup. Right? We're going to go eat some burgers. You want to go? Go to Super Burger for the men's Bible study. Right? I'm just saying, like, people need to see. Right? They have people, a lot of times in the world, the devil's done a good job of, like, just thinking that, like, people that love Jesus, that we're like this stereotype and, you know, we walk a certain way, we talk a certain way. No, you know what, man? What I love about our church is that we love to have fun, that we love each other, and that we can be authentic, right? And we're not perfect. But if I let you down, I always say this. Let's talk about it, right? We're going to get through this thing. God is good, yes? And so all we're doing is say, hey, come invite, come and see, come and see. And let Jesus be the one that gets them in the headlock, yeah? Let the Holy Spirit get a hold of them, right? Until then, we keep praying. Amen? Let's go ahead and close in prayer. But listen, what God is doing this year is calling us into a new thing, and we have to deepen our walk with him. We have to deepen our relationship with him to be effective. At the end of the day, right, we're called to be the salt and the light. And that's only going to happen when we follow him and that we are sincere and honest. And that doesn't mean that we hide our flaws. That doesn't mean, listen, I always say people want to see an authentic worshiper of Jesus Christ, flaws and all. But Jesus will start to slowly transform, start to change our hearts, start to renew different things, start to bring healing upon our lives. And today, maybe, like I said, if Jesus is calling you into a deeper relationship, it might mean that you have to leave something behind. Like the disciples had to leave their nets behind. You might have to leave something behind. You have to take inventory of what that is. And God will meet you at that need because he's God. Father God, thank you again for this morning. Thank you for the invitation and the call that you have on our life, Lord. Call us into relationship with you. You call to know us, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, again. That we don't have to get ourselves right. There's no way that we can do, there's nothing that we can do that would ever earn our salvation, that could ever earn the relationship. You've already done the work. You've already come. That you are God with us. So, Father God, right now I just pray, Lord, that you would just continue to work on our lives, Lord. Help us, Lord God, to surrender to you. Help us to, Lord, take inventory and to just get anything that is getting in the way of our walk with you, Lord, to move it out, to prune it, to surrender it to you, Lord Jesus. Because, Lord, you want to do an amazing thing, Lord. You're doing a new thing in us, Lord, but we need to surrender it to you. You need to be Lord of our lives. And so this morning, Lord, I just pray. I pray, number one, that we surrender to you. I pray, number two, that we make a commitment to follow you, Lord God, and taste and see that you're good, Lord, to experience your kindness and forgiveness and your mercy, Lord God. And Father God, continue just to minister to us, Lord Jesus. Some of us in here, we're going through some conflicts, Lord God. We're going through some relationship issues, Lord. We're not exempt from these things. We surrender it to you, Lord God. I know that there's nothing greater, Lord God, than the call to be your disciple. You're calling us from death to life, Lord God. You want us to share the good news of who you are. So help us to follow you. Help us to come and taste and see, Lord God, again. And just help us to do the work that you have for us to introduce people to you. Thank you again for what you're doing in the life of this church. I pray for every person that is here and every family that is here, Lord God, and the families and people that are going to join the church, Lord God. Because, Lord, we can't help but share who you are. Help us to achieve your mission and vision for this church, Lord God. We just want to worship you in a way that's authentic, Lord God. Relationship and service, Lord, each other. And, Lord, we want to make you, we want to know you, Lord God. We want to make you know. Very simple. And Lord, there's nothing greater, Lord God, than living in and walking, Lord, on the purpose that you have for every one of us, Lord. What could be better, Lord God, than surrender our lives to you, Lord? Have you be the Lord of our lives, that we could be discipled by you, by your word, and by our brothers and sisters here in this church, Lord God, that you're calling us into that. And Father God, right now, maybe somebody is here, Lord God, that they have somebody in mind, somebody that they've been praying for, somebody that they need to reach out to and introduce them and also maybe disciple them along in their walk and their journey. And just go through the Bible and teaching them how to pray. And so, Father God, if that's what, if you're working in that way right now, Lord God, I just pray, Lord God, we would stop making excuses and we just reach out to them. Share the good news of who you are and bring them to you, Lord God. We can bring them from death to life. You can bring them, Lord God, not us. But we would just be able to be your hands and your feet to do your work and do your will. Thank you again, Lord God, for giving us this beautiful day. Keep us all safe, Lord God. Keep us all back to full health. And meet us again at our needs, Lord God. That's the need. We need to forgive somebody. We need to take inventory, Lord God. We need to prune out, Lord God. We repent right now, Lord God. We confess if there's any sins that are getting in the way of our walk with you, Lord God. If we sinned against another brother and sister, Lord God, we need to repent from that. We need to be made whole, Lord God, in relationship with you, with our brothers and sisters, Lord God. Thank you again for this morning and for this day. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.